today in class, we can resume our lessons. Okay. In the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Okay. Now, I think we have already had three sessions on defending the faith. Right? So if you have any questions or any doubts in your mind, then you are free to ask. And to be honest, for those who know me, I'm a very open person. You are free to challenge me. Okay? Seriously. Right? Because this is about our faith, our belief. And I think if you have any questions, then you are free to ask. Right? If I can, I will do my best to answer you. Obviously, with the help of God. Right? Now, we know that the truth is the foundation of the church. And this foundation must remain where it is. It cannot be, I would use the word, cannot be tampered with. No one should, you know, relay the foundation of the church, as Paul has mentioned, because Christ Jesus has already laid the foundation. I think this is quite clear, going to the scriptures. So if you have any question, then please feel free to ask. Because actually I have got quite many questions as well that I would like to share with you concerning the Holy Spirit. Right. Okay, now if you don't have questions, or perhaps after I have gone through the lessons, then I will allow you, you know, some time to ask questions. Alright? Okay, turn to... you know, there are some key passages, remember, yesterday I told you about how you should grab hold of all these key passages or verses to help you to stabilize your faith. Now, I think if you can find answers to questions based on the Bible, then obviously your faith will not be shaken, because you believe that, you know, the faith that you have in Jesus is a sure one, is Bible based. Okay? Now, here I'm going to show you a few more verses to help you understand. Actually, you can look at the way, you know, that the apostle, you know, talk about the Holy Spirit, right? Now, I want you to turn to Acts of the Apostle, chapter 2. Please turn to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. We can read from verse 2 to verse 4, right? Now, I believe in this, because the truth cannot be overthrown, right? The truth can only be twisted, can only be confused, when we ourselves are not too sure about it. Okay? Now, I want you to read chapter 2. Now, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, to me this is like a term to describe it is like, I don't know how you pronounce it, it's like a paradigm, right? Or the patterns of how the Spirit was received in the time of the apostle. Now, two things mentioned. The first is rushing of mighty wind. Now, as we all know that, you know, the Spirit actually is the wind in the original text. There's no distinction that between wind and the Spirit, yeah, they all actually come from the same root word, or the same word of, of the same family. Okay? Now, here it says, rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. At that point in time, you know that they were gathered together in Jerusalem as instructed by Jesus Christ. Now, verse 3, when after the wind, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. Now, this is a very unique description, right? The tongue here is compared to fire, divided tongue as of fire, right? And he said, and one set upon each of them. Now, if you think about this very carefully, right? Now, I always use a very, you know, a very ancient example, very, you know, old-fashioned example. I said, if you light up a candle, or if you have a, what do you call it, the lighter, you know, but you don't smoke, you see. If you light up, Rocky, yeah? Light up a lighter, you know? If you light up a lighter, then you see the what, the flame, is it? Now, if you place it in a place where there is no wind, you find that the flame stay still, is it not so? So if you turn on the fan or whatever, then happen, the flame start to flicker, is it not so? Yeah. Now, this is same with the coming of the Spirit. That's what the Bible says, divided tongue is of fire. Your tongue will be divided like fire being blown by the wind. You understand what I'm saying? I'm very worried that you don't understand me. Sorry, I keep repeating. But it's not there anymore. Okay? Now, so likewise, when the Spirit comes upon a person, naturally, the tongues will start to move. And this is the evidence that God has given to us. Right? This is the patterns. This is the initial patterns. How the Spirit would be received. Okay? Or how the Spirit was received at the point of when the Spirit came. Alright? Now, so that's why, you know, in the true Jesus Church, or even later on in the ministry of the apostles, you find that they always use tongue, yeah, to decide whether a person has received the Spirit or not. This is a very key understanding. You need to grab this. Okay? Now, before I go on to chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 15, I want to first talk about verse 4. Yeah? Now, I think there isn't a problem here with the translation. If you read Chinese, then you run into problems. Why? Because it talks about language, isn't it? 什么别国的话, something like that. Yeah? Now, but you know that tongue is not a language, right? That's why the Bible says, yeah, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the tongues here was initiated by the Spirit. Now, there is an argument here. You know, some people said we can see the separation, okay? There is a line of separation between being filled by the Spirit and the speaking of tongues because of the what? The what do you call it? Because of the conjunction and. You know, if you do English, yeah, you know this? And you call what? Conjunction, you know? When you join this. When you join two sentences together, conjunction.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's why some people said, look, they are two separate things, right? So you can receive the Spirit first, and then later on, you can pray for the tongue. You can pray for the tongues. And this is very dangerous, you know. This kind of teaching is like to, how do I put it? It's like to confuse, you know, the truth that we have received. Now, again, we come back to the example that I have given to you. Yeah? I've given to you the candle here, right? Now, what causes the flame to vibrate or to flicker? It's the wind, isn't it? Now, meaning, if you look at it, I'm trying to be graphical, okay? If you look at it very carefully, you find that there must be a point of initiation, if I can put it this way. Yeah? Now, without this point of initiation, you find that the flame will not vibrate, isn't it? Likewise, without the coming of the Spirit upon a person, the tongue will not move. You get what I'm saying? I repeat myself. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Yes.
there must be a point of initiation. So we are saying that, okay, that is the wind that initiates the movement of the flame. Is it also? Yeah? Likewise, the utterance of the tongues, the movement of the tongue, is initiated by the
Hallelujah.
Now you know your doctrine very well. Okay? So do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. I firmly believe in this, okay? There's always an answer to any question that poised to challenge the belief of the church, especially the basic belief of the church. Because these are the foundation of the church. Right? But you can imagine, if I'm baptized and I receive the Holy Spirit, upon being baptized, and then later on I pray for tongues, then what is the purpose? What is the purpose of that? You are very, very quiet for some reason. I'm a bit scared. Please. Is it okay? We move on now to chapter 10, yeah? Chapter 10. Okay, now I want you to understand that this pattern is being followed throughout the ministry of the apostle. Now we turn to chapter 10. Let's look at chapter 10 very clearly, verse 44 to verse 48, yeah? Now, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the Gentiles also. Now, pay attention to verse 46. Verse 47, yeah? Can anyone forbid water that they should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit? Just as we have. So, like Peter here made a reference to the experience that they had on the day of Pentecost. Is that clear? Yeah? Now, so when Peter went to the house of Cornelius, he made a reference back to what they had on the day of Pentecost. Yeah? And they realized that, look, eh? Actually, the experience that we had initially is the same as the one they were seeing at the time when Cornelius and the family received the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, now we read chapter 11, Acts chapter 11. Please turn to Acts chapter 11. Now, here it records an incident after Peter had returned to Jerusalem. Obviously, some of the circumcision party would not be so pleased with what he did, so they started challenging him, saying to him, Why on earth did you go to what? To eat with the Gentiles? Huh? Why did you associate with them? Yeah? And do you not know that they are unclean? Now, look at the response from Peter. I'm going to read chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 15, yes. And as I began to speak, he was talking about, you know, the experience that he had in the house of Cornelius, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Now, the beginning here refers to which beginning? Hallelujah. You know, in Africa, this is how I wake them up. Mm. Hallelujah. And they say amen, and they wake up, they all wake up. You know, sometimes I follow them, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, so they all wake up. Because after dinner, everyone is tired, including me. If I don't do this, I'll be dozing always. So, not bad, good way of, you know, waking myself up. Alright, now, chapter 15. Look at chapter 15, yeah? Now, here it happens in the conference at Jerusalem, okay? Verse 8. Now, look at verse 8. Here, Peter stood up again. He rose up and said to, you know, those who attended the conference. Verse 8, yeah? So God, who knows the hearts, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He did to us. Now, you think about this, yeah? When Peter was in the house of Cornelius, were these people baptized already?
No.
No. Okay, now, for Peter to say that, you know, God has given them the Spirit just as He did to us, meaning God has given the same Spirit to the Gentile as He did to the apostle on the day of Pentecost. So there is no distinction as far as the Spirit is concerned. One Spirit, same Spirit. Okay, you can call it Holy Spirit, you can call it the promised Holy Spirit, you can just call it the Spirit. It's up to you. Or you can even call the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of the living God. All these are different ones, terms given to the Spirit. There is no distinction. Okay? Class. I know some of you are very tired. Okay. Right. So this is the pattern. These are the key verses you need to remember, because they talk about how the Spirit was first received, and that served as the blueprint for the apostles to follow later on in their ministry work. Yeah. Alright, now we move on. So questions. You know, I try to ask you as many questions as I can, because my brain is about to stop working as well. Well, never mind. What is it? Hallelujah. I can't. Oh, okay, 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6, yeah? Now, please answer my question first. You know, in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, how many times do these two books talk about the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit? How many times?
Three.
Yes? The first?
Corinthians chapter 3. First
chapter 3.
Chapter 6.
Chapter 6.
Second
Corinthians,
chapter 6.
You are from Taiwan, I know.
Has anything to do with Taiwan?
No, memory power, good.
Oh, Michael. You are from Taiwan too.
Hallelujah.
Andy, can you remember?
From America.
Oh, you're from America. I'm from the UK, I'm in between. Okay, now we go through them, yeah? I think this chapter 6 will be enough. Okay, just look at chapter 6. Okay, chapter 6, alright? We read verse 19. Verse 19 and verse 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, here there are two things, right? The question is worded, if I can put it this way, in such a way, it's like saying that, you know, after baptism, the Spirit is in you. Now, if you look at verse 20, it said, you were bought at a price. Now, the buying here refers to what? Baptism. Is that not true? Okay. Now, so after you have been bought, then you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And here it says, who is in you? Now, it gives the idea that, you know what I'm saying? It gives the idea that when a person is baptized, the Spirit is in the person, because you know that person has been bought by the blood of Jesus. Do you follow the logic, the argument here? Yeah, so what is your answer to this? What is your answer? Is it true that when a person is baptized and he is given the Spirit at the same time?
No.
No. Michael, they answer the question from Taiwan.
There's an example in Acts chapter 8, I guess.
You remember I told you, you were not here, sorry, so... So you didn't know the principle anyway. Okay, you know when a question is raised, okay, it's important for us to answer the question, and then you can talk about Acts chapter 8. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about Acts chapter 8, basically you use it to support your answer to the questions.
Okay.
Right? Now, so my question is, here it seems that those who were bought by Jesus, meaning those who have been baptized, they receive the Spirit at the same time. You remember yesterday I did a very silly exercise with you? Okay, how many people received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Very good, from Taiwan, I know. Either retention power is superb. I'm almost mesmerized by it.
Mesmerized.
I'm very amazed by it. Okay.
Not hypnotized.
No, it's what? It's less intense than being hypnotized. Mesmerized. No, I'm not teaching English. Okay, come on. Now, the next, what is it? Chapter 8. How many people received the Spirit?
Not recorded.
I thought the whole city.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. The first time you fell, I'm very happy.
Oh.
I love you. Okay, I need to ask Andy from America. Adrian. So, what about chapter 10? How many received the Holy Spirit?
I think all that were
come with me.
Okay. Have heard.
Out in the house.
Are you sure? Get the fact right.
All that listening to us.
Yes, hallelujah. Now I guess someone from the UK, from Leicester. Chapter 19, how many received the Holy Spirit? I'll go to Germany. No, I wouldn't go to Austria very soon.
Yeah,
Canada as well. Okay, UK. How many received the Spirit? I'm not talking about Leicester Church, I'm talking about Acts chapter 19. Yes.
About 12.
Hallelujah. About 12. Now, so 120 received the Spirit at the same time, isn't it? Yeah, it's like one go when the Spirit came. All of them received the Spirit. Now, chapter 8, all of them, isn't it? And then chapter 10, all those who listen receive. So it's a common phenomenon in those days, you know, when they pray for the Spirit, and all of them receive the Spirit. So, and it's not at all surprising for us to say that, you know, even in Corinth, people, you know, the whole church, the entire church, could have received the Spirit at the same time, because that is the trend. Is that clear?
Yeah. Mm.
Now, if you think about this very carefully, the reasoning, okay? Now, you know that the Spirit is to be given to everyone who believes, is a promise. Okay? So, in the eyes of God, this thing will surely come to pass. Unless we said, you know, the person concerned does not keep himself in the Lord. That is another story altogether. Okay? Now, so if all of us keep ourselves in the Lord, and the Lord know for sure that this will surely happen. Okay? This idea you need to bear in mind. Now, another idea which is very important, I give you a very simple example. How many of you own a house?
Rocky, how many houses you have? You have winter house, you have a summer house,
wow.
You have house of ivory, like those in the book of Amos.
Yeah.
How many houses you have?
I wish I had.
How many houses you have?
Yeah. Don't have.
You don't have?
Yeah. I'm renting.
Oh, you sold all your houses?
Yeah.
Come on.
You sold all your houses? So that you can go to Africa?
Yes.
Oh, you?
Oh.
I'll give them.
Yeah. What a resolution.
So, you know, if you want to go Africa, if you don't have money, sell your laptop.
That's really easy.
So you can get enough money to go to Africa. What do you think? You can sell yours as well. Okay? Now, the point I'm making is this, yeah? Have you bought a house before?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you bought a house, then you do all the contract thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Exchange of contract or whatever, okay? Now, after you have done it, yeah? And before you move into the house, does the house belong to you?
No.
Contract exchange.
It belongs to the bank.
Closing.
It still belongs to the bank.
No, you paid already. Everything is paid, okay?
Yeah. Oh.
Everything is paid. That's why we said after you have bought it.
Ah, okay.
Okay, now before you move in, okay? Before you move in to stay in the house, to live in the house, is the house yours?
No, of course, yes.
If the house is not yours, then how dare you go in? You are what? You are a robber.
Robber.
Is that not so?
Yes.
So, we have been bought by Jesus. Yeah? Even though the Spirit is not in us, we belong to Jesus. That's why we say this temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Simple analogy. You get what I'm saying? Right? It doesn't mean that if I have bought the house, then I must go in and stay, you know, only then I can say that this house is mine. No, even before I go in, yeah, insofar as I have exchanged the contract, I pay all the money, yeah, and the house is mine. Is that also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So this is the idea. That's why, class, when you read the Bible, that's why I said, if you hold on to what you have received, God will give you the wisdom to answer questions. I'm telling you. That's why if you are not very certain, then you'll be tossed here and there, like what Paul says. Yeah? Okay, I want you to read the verse that I talked about last night. We turn to chapter 4. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We read verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Right? Now, as we mentioned, this is the work what? Work of the deceivers. Right? Now, so they use a cunning plot to deceive you. That's why, to be honest, because this is concerned with our salvation, that's why we pray that up here, our mind is not clouded by confusion. It's not clouded by things that we should not have taken them in. Okay? Now, before I proceed, any question you want to ask? Any questions? I'm not a DQ, you know. You know what DQ stands for? I'm not a drama queen. You know, I learned this in Hong Kong. And then, you know, I went to a brother's house, and he said to his daughter, hey, please don't be a DQ. I said, what is a DQ? Because the daughter, she knows how to act.
And the father said, please don't be a DQ. So what's DQ? Drama queen.
Okay.
Yes.
So you talk about we use tongue to determine whether he has his Holy Spirit, right?
Mm.
But when Jesus receives Holy Spirit, he didn't have like tongue speaking, right?
Okay. Now, I think it's a good question. Yeah, you know, just like
John.
No. You know, talk about baptism. Yeah. Okay. Before Christ's crucifixion, you find that Jesus' word has the power to forgive sin.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
Okay? Now, so, even the one who was crucified by his side, yeah, his sin was forgiven. Because when he was on earth, he has the power to forgive sin. Now, here we are talking about after his resurrection and his ascension. So, you find that the forgiveness of sin can only come about through water baptism. Okay? Now, the same principle apply. You know, like in the Old Testament, people received the Spirit without speaking in tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the time of John, in the time of Jesus, like Simon, Elizabeth, right? The Bible says they're all filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's no mention of tongue speaking. Now, tongue speaking only came about after the ascension of Jesus. Okay? And when the downpour of the promised Holy Spirit occurred, the Bible tells us then they began to speak with other tongues. That's why Peter always referred back to the first experience that they had, the Pentecostal experience. That is the starting point. Okay? After Christ's ascension, after Christ has become victorious over death, and after he has conquered Satan. Right? Now from then on, it's like we have been ushered into a new era altogether. So the coming of the Spirit will be evidenced by tongue speaking. Is that okay?
Well, what about a person who cannot speak? He can never get...
Cannot speak. Okay, now you are talking about exceptional cases, and you're not talking about you know, the doctrine itself, alright? Now I believe in this. You know, if a mute person, yeah, who cannot speak, yeah, or whatever, then I believe God can heal. God can also heal a person by giving the person, you know, the Spirit. I tell you a testimony. I don't want it to be recorded. You know, it happened. There was a brother. He passed away already. So he had not been to the church when he was still alive. You know, God blessed him with a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So he wandered away from God. He didn't come back to the church. And what happened? He was stricken by stroke.
Mm.
So he became semi-paralyzed. I can't remember which side. So he could not move. And from then on, he begins to realize that he has sinned against God. So he wanted so much to come back to the church. You know, in those days, some of the brothers from the church has to carry him practically onto the taxi or onto the private car, and then when they arrive, the church carry him out, you know. And he had been praying for the Holy Spirit for over 10 years, but God did not give him the Spirit. After more than 10 years, he suffered stroke again for the second time. Complete paralysis. Completely paralyzed. Could not move. Right? So, it happened that, you know, the last few days before he died. So I went to the hospital because I was there. So actually I went with my wife. I went to listen. He could not talk. Can't even move. To me, he was worse than a mute person. He couldn't even move. I'm telling you. When we went there, we touched him, he can only blink with his eye. The whole body was paralyzed. So I was saying to my wife, let's pray and then we go. So I pray.
during the prayer, I tell you, the mouth suddenly opened, and then the tongue started to move. Even my wife could hear after the prayer. She said, "You received the Holy Spirit." I said, "Yes, the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord." God can do wonders. Even if you're a mute person, God can still cause you to speak in tongues, give you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Any other questions? Feel free to ask. Seriously. You still got 10 minutes to 15 minutes, 10 minutes.
When we say Holy Spirit is represent that God is with you, right?
Mm.
So in this concept, that under this concept, that if one person who sins to God and
sin against God,
okay. And maybe he is things like adultery or something. So
what's that?
Adultery.
Sorry. So he is not going to have Holy Spirit anymore, in theory. Right.
Yes, according to the scriptures, yes, the Spirit will leave him. Especially if the person, after having known the truth, and purposely does that, bye-bye. No cure.
But lots of people still speak in tongues.
Okay. Now, now we have come to something very different, yeah? We are not talking about receiving the Holy Spirit in a general sense. Okay, we have come to like special cases. Okay, now some people, after you know, even though they have committed, say, serious sin, yeah, adultery, fornication, whatever, right? If they still speak in tongue, it could be that the tongue is habitual. Okay, it's like it's not from the Spirit. It's not from the Spirit. Okay, it's not from the Spirit. There is an incident, again, too many testimony. You know, there's a brother, you know, he came over to the UK, obviously because he didn't restrain himself very well. So he sinned with a lady, and he came to the church. He said, "You see, I could still speak in tongues." Right? And then later on, he sinned with another woman.
Mm.
And then when he prayed again, the tongue could not even move. God stop it altogether. Because this is a willful sinning.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes, you know, that's why sometimes people fake the tongues.
Mm-hmm.
If a person has sinned against God willfully, and yet he still pray in tongues, then we question the person. Right?
So you're saying that actually it's not the Holy Spirit.
That's why I said one of the possibilities that the person fakes the tongue, right? Pretend to speak in tongues.
So it doesn't make sense, like.
What do you mean it doesn't make sense?
I mean, like, God can still mercy on him and give him.
Okay, we are not talking about. We don't work on assumption right now. Okay, God can have mercy on him. That is a separate issue. If God wants to have mercy on him, I don't judge on that. Okay, I'm talking about, you know, in the light of the scriptures, if a person sin willfully, then obviously according to the Bible, then there shall be no what? Cleansing of from the blood anymore. Okay, that's the point I'm making. Okay, obviously you can come up with a lot of assumption. That is another story altogether. Is that okay? You know, tomorrow night we'll talk about this. Right? You know, when you come to, like, according to the scriptures, people who preach another gospel, willfully preach another gospel, we don't just judge by hearing whether they speak in tongues or not. That is not what the Bible says. You listen to what he says. Alright? That's why in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, how do we know that this person has the Spirit of truth? Now, John make a distinction between Spirit of truth and the Spirit of what?
Error.
Now, how do we know that this guy has a spirit of error?
Meet Jesus.
Eh?
At the meet Jesus.
Sorry?
Admit. Can you admit Jesus as a son?
No. That is, yes, that part of it. But I want you to read First John.
Or listen to us.
Then the First John.
Or listen to us.
Okay. Yes, that's the one. I think we read this.